Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading. And we read as the text verse for the sermon from Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26, verse 41, where we read as follows: Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The theme for the sermon is fight and victory by prayer. 3 points of attention. The first point, the hour of darkness. The second point, watch and pray. And the third point, spirit and flesh. So the theme for the sermon is fight and victory by prayer. 3 points, the hour of darkness, watch and pray, spirit and flesh. Congregation, it happens sometimes that there's a very serious accident. Can be that there's a traffic accident, and sometimes there's a person laying on the street, wounded, and they are laying on the cold street alone, unable to rise, still conscious about what happens around him. And people standing around that person, just standing, so that person laying on the street is just seeing feet and legs. And they once told me it will be very good if you would see that you would just sit down next to that person on the ground where he is in wounded and weak and hurt and alone, vulnerable, that you sit down to be near. That can mean so much, be so important to such a person. It'll be hard if you do not have experienced it, what it means to experience that, to be so alone, vulnerable, scared, anxious about what happens to you and what happened. Then someone coming to you, sitting next to you, watching in your eyes, talking to you, comforting you, not able to take all the hurt away or the wounds away, but being with you, can mean such a lot. Can you see that? In those hours of darkness, those deep and hard experiences in life, to have someone to be near to us. We read about the hour of darkness in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who is the Creator, who is the Omnipotent One, but who became man, totally man, and who became weak for our sake to take our punishment upon himself. And now at the last night of his life on earth, he is going to a place to be alone with his disciples and to pray. There's such a deep distress in his heart. It's such a heavy load that is upon him. And then it's such a deep trouble for him. And then what is he gonna do then? He's going to a place where he was used to go to pray. Gethsemane. So leaving Jerusalem, the city, and going to Gethsemane, to that Garden of Olives, to be alone with his disciples and to pray. But then he has a strong desire that his disciples would be with him and pray with him. That in that hour of darkness, he wouldn't be left alone, but that his disciples would also pray. And we can learn so much from this history. Oh, it's so much touching our heart when we see that the Lord Jesus, who did only good on earth, is so deeply troubled in such a deep affliction, and that because of my sins. And the first lesson that we receive in this history is that when there's trouble in our hearts, what are we gonna do? We all know situations of trouble. Aren't we born for, you could say, experience trouble in this earthly life because of sin? If we know the Lord by grace, or if we do not know the Lord by grace, that does not make a difference in the reality that we have to experience trouble in this world. We brought it into this world by our sin. And what are we gonna do when we experience trouble? When we know the Lord, we have to do what the Lord Jesus does. He is going to his knees. He is having a place where he is used to go to pray to his Father. Oh, that we all have that place, that we all would have this place where we are used to be alone. That we could say with one of the psalms that we have that habit to bring all our burdens and all our afflictions to the Lord. Can we honestly say that? And do we know that relief of praying? Do we know how much the Lord is using prayer to take our burdens from our shoulders and to comfort us in our trouble and affliction? Could be that there's someone here that says, well, I do not experience that so much. It happens to me that I pray, and when I rise, I still have that burden. I know what you mean. So, there are few things that I would like to say about that. That is your experience, that you say, when I pray, it does not take the trouble away, the distress away out of my heart. Well, the first question that we would have to ask ourselves is, do we pray in trusting the Lord? Did we meditate upon the Word and remember how many times the Lord has promised that he is a helper in need? And then it can be that you say, well, but I do not deserve that. And that is so true. But do you see that the Lord is doing that for Christ's sake? If we pray in his name, we plead and pray for grace sake to take our trouble away, or to comfort us. Probably that's better to say that, to comfort us in our trouble and affliction. Yeah. So that's the first thing. Do we pray in faith? And I know that's a gift. But we also know that the Holy Spirit is using the Word to work that trust in our heart. When we remember what the Lord has done and what he has written in his Word, then, oh, that faith can become alive again, or be worked by the Holy Spirit for the first time. Do we pray in such a way that we trust the Lord? The next thing about prayer is that we have to see that the Lord is in control, and that when it is in his counsel, that he will not take the difficult circumstances away, will not change those things, that we will believe that it is for good, that it is useful in our heart, for our life and heart, our personal life, our spiritual life. And that's making such a difference. We see, well, it's in the hand of the Lord. And He is so wise and good, so merciful, so kind, so that we will trust Him in our affliction. And isn't that a difference between those that fear the Lord and those that do not? That both will experience tribulation. And sometimes we have to say, well, those that fear the Lord experience more of it. But the great, the big difference is that the Lord is near to them, next to them, and upholding them and bearing them. And that's all the difference. And using it for their good. And the third thing that we could learn from this history is, and when we pray, well, it can be that we do not immediately experience that the Lord is taking the load, that burden away from our heart. And that's the thing that the Lord is working in the way of prayer. And that, you know, the circumstance can be the same. It didn't change for the Lord Jesus. He had to drink that cup. But it can be totally different when He is taking the burden away from our soul in such a way that we have to experience the suffering, but that the Lord is giving us so much of His nearness and His strength that it is totally different. You think about Psalm 77, where the psalmist is writing those words, asking this question: would the Lord forget His grace? Would He not hear? Would He forget His promises? Would He not fulfill His promises? Oh, what a spiritual struggle. But then at the end of the psalm, we read that the psalmist says, but I will remember the deeds of the Lord. And then he's remembering how the Lord brought His people out of Egypt. And when he's thinking about the miracles that the Lord did, then he started to speak about the great things of the Lord. So his situation in the outward circumstance was the same, but inwardly it was all changed. He didn't look to the difficult circumstances, but he was looking up to the Lord and remembered what the Lord had done and was able to do. And so his inward experience changed. When you say, well, I do not experience that immediately, well, why not continue to pray? That's the third thing that we can learn from this history, that the Lord Jesus is not praying once, but praying again and again, continuing to pray. And sometimes people would say, well, Pastor, if I pray for a while, then sometimes I read about people that will pray for hours, but how can they continue to pray for hours? I don't know what to pray after praying for some time. Well, why not repeat those things that are still a burden upon your heart till the Lord will come with His grace and His comfort to your soul to take that burden away? Yeah, it's the hour of darkness for the Lord Jesus. But He is fighting and receiving victory by prayer. There are those hours of darkness in our lives. You never experienced that? Those hours that Satan would come very near. That it seems that all the powers of darkness and all the enemies that could be there come against you. All the circumstances turn against you. And that it is so much that you cannot even comprehend it, that you don't know what to do. The hour of darkness, that it seems that Satan is bringing all his power against you to destroy you. Those hours of darkness. And then in your helplessness, in your weakness, come to your knees and see that the Lord is almighty and that Christ overcame Satan and overcame darkness and overcame sin, and that he is such a helper in need. Are you in darkness now? Are you experiencing that? You can experience darkness outside, but also darkness in your heart, such a distress that you don't know how to escape from that. And then the answer is prayer. And yeah, it can be so good to ask others to pray for us. And that you remember from the word where two or three will join in prayer, that the Lord will certainly hear. And the Lord Jesus asking his disciples to pray. It's also remarkable that we see that he is taking three of his disciples with him further deeper into the garden before he himself alone is going further to pray. So it seems it's clear that he has a more intimate relationship with Peter and with John and James, and that we can probably all understand. And it's so good if the Lord is giving a special connection to some people around us, people that we ask more than others to pray for us. And the Lord is asking his disciples to pray. Yeah, but then we see what happens, that they fall asleep. Oh, and why is that? So there are some questions coming up in this history. Questions about the weakness of the disciples, but also this question. And isn't that a deeper question? Why is it that the Lord Jesus is having such a deep distress? Why is he so anxious this night, when he is going to suffer and die upon the cross? He is in such a deep darkness. It's for him such a dark hour, an hour of darkness. Well, we know that there have been many martyrs in this world that have suffered physically as deep, that had experienced pain to their bodies. Why is it that the Lord Jesus is so anxious, so scared, that he is sweating drops of blood? And there is an answer to that question. When you think about it, that the Lord Jesus here in this night, he, the Son of God who became man, is taking the burden of sin upon him. That is the reason. It's not only the suffering of his body, but it is much more the suffering of his soul. He had to suffer with body and soul to make us free from sin. We sin against the Lord with body and soul. We are human beings with our bodies, but also a soul, an inward life. And when we sin, we do it with body and soul, isn't it? It can happen that we do something wrong and that we said, well, we didn't know it, but we were not conscious about what we did. But many times, when we sin, we are aware of what we are doing. And we do not only do it with our bodies, but we do it with our souls because we like to do it. We enjoy to do it. So our inward life, our inward being is sinning against God. And now our Savior, He had to suffer with body and soul to make us free from guilt and sin. And the suffering of His soul is so deep that we cannot even imagine, we cannot comprehend how deep it is. He is made sin for us. Well, He is without sin Himself. So He is a man that is perfect, having such a tender conscience, never sinned, not hardened by doing sin like we are. And then He is made sin for our sake. So the burden of sin, the load of sin is put upon Him. If you think for a while about that, if it would happen that sin is put upon you, the people would talk amongst each other and tell each other that you did a very bad thing. Well, it would probably keep you awake during the night. And now they all talk about me. They all think that I did that. Oh, they look upon me as if I am a criminal. As if I am so wicked. And I cannot bear it. That would be about one sin. To have the load of one sin put upon you would be so hard. I read about a father that was accused by his daughter. Well, not really his daughter did it. But you know, his daughter had a hard time when she was in her teenagers. And then those people that should help her, they talked to her in such a way. Well, she was abused by a stranger who had been in their house for a while, so she was sexually abused, and that brought her in a mental struggle, distress. And then those that had to help her talked to her and said, well, so your father abused you, because those helpers had some, you know, some resistance against religion, and they knew it was a very religious family. And then they talked so long to her that she said at the end, yes, or she even didn't say it, but they assumed it. So then that father was accused of abusing his daughter sexually. Well, he didn't do it. It took years before she was strong enough to say it was not true. And they were reconciled to each other. And then, such an amazing thing. But can you imagine what it has been to that father to have put that sin upon him? And now the load of sin is put upon Jesus. It's not done by a helper who has enmity against religion, but it is done by His righteous Father, by His dear Heavenly Father. So the shepherd is smote by his own Father, Christ. He is experiencing the wrath and the anger of his Father over sin against him, and he knows it. He knows that anger, that wrath of God, he is experiencing that in his soul. That makes him to sweat blood. And those that have knowledge, medical knowledge, they say that's a very exceptional thing. In the deepest distress it can happen, that a person will sweat blood. So the Lord Jesus is in such a deep struggling here because of the load of sin put upon his soul for our sake, to make us free. Think about it. See his deep love. See his compassion, that he is willing to do that to make you free of sin. Would you not love this Savior? And would you not do what he says, watch and pray? Oh, he is praying here. He, the Son of God, who never sinned, who resisted Satan when Satan tempted him in the desert, he is praying, but he is also talking to his disciples when he is finding them and they are asleep. Then he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. He said it to Peter, who said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? So he's warning in this history his disciples, they have to watch and pray, because they are so weak, they are in danger. And it's a warning that is coming to us. Satan is very near that night. But we live in a world where Satan is the prince of the world. And if you think about that, how much we need to watch and pray so that we will not fall into temptation. So we have to see that we are on the ground of the enemy. And Satan is around us. And Satan is looking for an occasion to overcome us, to bring us into temptation. I've read books of the Second World War, and then sometimes it would happen that there was a pilot of an airplane of the British or American armies, you know, that would fly over the Netherlands to Germany to break the power of Germany. And then when it was shut down, such an airplane, then the pilot would jump out of it and come to the ground, and if Dutch people would find him, they would hide him and try to bring him back behind the where the Germans were fighting the Americans and the Britain armies. So they had to go through the places where the enemy was. It was so dangerous because, you know, the German soldiers could find them every moment. So they were very, very careful. That's our situation. We are on the ground of the enemy. Satan is all around us and trying to bring us into temptation. Yeah, they couldn't be awake. And we could say, well, there are several reasons for that. Why did those disciples fall asleep? Well, the first and most important reason is that the Lord Jesus had to suffer alone. He had to take the load of sin upon himself, and there was nobody with him. He had to fight Satan alone in this hour of darkness. He is a perfect Savior, and there's nobody helping him. But other human reasons are that the disciples had such a hard time when they heard about what the Lord Jesus said, that he would be caught that night and that he was gonna die. and that he was gonna suffer. It was emotionally so heavy for them that we can understand that they have been very tired and fell asleep. But there's another reason. Satan didn't want them to be next to the Lord Jesus, to support him in their prayer. Satan wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus. So he would like them to be asleep, and he didn't want the disciples to pray so that they could resist Satan when he was making them to be offended and flee from the Lord Jesus. I remember when we were just married, there was a pastor visiting us, and he said, you know, now you're married, what you should do? And he said, especially also to me, you've promised to teach your wife, so you should sit on the couch every week, one evening, I've told you before maybe, and you take a good book, let's say, for example, The Reasonable Service of Abrakel, and you read 10 pages, each at a turn, one page loud, and you talk about it. And so if you have read 2,000 pages, then you can say and pray that you have learned something. But he said you have to be aware that that evening that you are going to do that, you will be very tired. You will feel sleepy. And the phone will ring, and there will be other things that try to come in between. Isn't that true? That Satan is trying to keep us from seeking the face of the Lord in prayer, in our private prayer. Keep us from taking our time to meditate upon the Word, because he knows that we need that strength, that we need that power of meditating upon the Word and prayer. So it's not surprising that the disciples fall asleep. And the Lord says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. We have to watch and pray. We are on the ground of the enemy, and we are so weak in ourselves. We need to pray. Are you doing that? Do you know the life of prayer? Oh, if you really know that, you cannot think about a situation that you would have to live without the Lord. Oh, if you have seen your own weakness, if you are honest about how many times you have fallen in sin, you will see your need to watch and pray, so that you would resist Satan. It is only by prayer that we can overcome this generation of devils. Those attacks of Satan is only by the power of the Lord, and we receive his power, his strength in our hearts by the Word and by prayer. So how foolish are we when we think that we can do without prayer? And it happens all the time, isn't it? When we feel good and when we feel strong, we forget to pray, like Peter does here. Peter had high thoughts about himself. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. So he thought, well, no, everybody could deny the Lord, but I cannot, I do not. I will stay with the Lord even if I would have to die. And if you have such high thoughts of yourself, you are in danger, because you do not see your weakness. You do not see your need of the strength and the support of the Lord. And you will fall into temptation and into sin. But those times that you remember fresh, and that you see clear how many times that you have fallen in sin, and how that it can happen that you are just busy doing things and all of a sudden Satan is attacking you with a thought, well, why would you not sin now? Why would you not enjoy the pleasure of sin? Why would you not give in? It's not so bad. And if you remember that you did it so many times, you will pray daily. You will see your need of prayer. You will watch like those that have to guard a city. And they are watching the whole night on guard. And nothing is happening. They think, God, why am I standing here? I can just take a nap now. And then the enemy is coming. So we are many times, we think, well, everything is fine in my life. I'm strong enough. Why would I pray so much? Why would I meditate upon the word? And that's a time that we are going to fall and that we have to learn again that we cannot stand only one moment without the Lord. And how good it is if we have that life near to the Lord. And you know, it are the tribulations, it are the afflictions that bring us to our knees. That is why we thank the Lord for our tribulations, because we see it. We have to enter the kingdom of heaven through many tribulations, because they keep us near to Christ. They keep us aware of our weakness. Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Did the Lord open your eyes for your weakness? Or is it in your life that you just give in to sin? I mean, the Lord said there would be enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And, you know, the seed of the woman, that's Christ. So if you belong to Christ, there will be enmity between you and the power of darkness, Satan. There will be a lifelong fight. You will wear the armor of God. Not to save yourself in your own strength, but just because you see your own weakness and you need the strength of the Lord. How is it in your life, young people? Did the Lord work in your heart? Adults, do you hate sin? Do you know the love of Christ? Do you see His sacrifice and His suffering? Did it become precious to your heart so that you received a tender conscience? The more you walk with the Lord, the more your conscience becomes tender, because you do not want anything because between the Lord and you. And you are so much aware that the Lord is an all-knowing God. And you feel that He deserves to be praised and glorified. And you do not want to dishonor Him by your sins. Can you say that? Are you watching and praying? Not to feel good about yourself, but because you do not want to dishonor the Lord. Not to earn heaven in your own strength, to enter heaven in your own righteousness, but because of the love of Christ burning in your heart like a fire. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 4:15, stanza 8 till 10. And 4:15, stanza 8, turn thou unto me in mercy, have compassion on my soul. 4:15, stanza 8 till 10. congregation, the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But what does it mean here, the flesh? Well, sometimes scripture speaks about the flesh as our old sinful nature. But that is not the meaning here, but the flesh is that we are human beings. And as human beings, we are weak. That's why they fell asleep. They were so tired. So the Lord had worked in their hearts and made them willing to follow the Lord Jesus. And then they fell asleep. Isn't it remarkable? And now Peter, John, James, they fell asleep. But Judas, he was not asleep. He was active. He was busy to betray the Lord, to bring the enemies of the Lord Jesus so that they would catch him. Yeah. It can be such a struggle for you, for me, when we experience that weakness and that we think, well, I should pray. I should pray more. And then, you know, I'm so tired. I cannot even concentrate. Cannot get my thoughts together. And oh, I just have to stop. I just have to sleep now. The flesh is weak. We are weak human beings. I should study the Word more. I should rise earlier in the morning to meditate upon the Word. But oh, the flesh is so weak. I cannot make it. I'm ashamed about the many times that I just took no time for the Lord. And you bring yourself in danger because we need that communion with the Lord. At the same time that the Lord Jesus is saying here, he's saying it as a warning. So the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It shows that he knows it. He knows it. The Lord knows how weak we are. It's not surprising to him. And does he cast Peter away because of his weakness? No. Does he cast John away? No. Does he cast James away? No. No. So, oh, it is so true that we need that prayer, that we need that meditation, and that the Lord will bless it in our lives to give us that deep peace. But if you sit here this morning and you are aware of your weakness, and now you experience that Satan is attacking you and says, well, it's not for you. There's no salvation for you. There's no grace for you because you are not diligent enough in studying the Word, in reading the Word, in praying. You're not praying enough. Then you should remember some things. You should first remember salvation is not there because you deserve it. You've heard that before, did you not? Did you really receive the truth in your heart? Salvation is in no way there because you are good enough. You know why people are not saved? Not because they are not good enough, but because they are not bad enough. That's why people are not saved, because they do not see enough of their need to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. They still try to make themselves good enough. So if you say, well, I am not diligent enough in studying the Word and praying, so how can I come to the Lord? Then you do not understand the gospel of grace. Because grace is grace. It is for those that are totally unworthy. Those that in no way can say, now I'm good enough. Now I've been praying enough. Now I've been reading enough. Now I see enough of my sin. Now I've been sad enough because of my guilt before the Lord. Now there is really nothing that you can offer the Lord for your salvation. Really nothing. You hear that? You believe that? Salvation is for wicked, evil people, for ungodly, for sinners, for people that are so weak in themselves, that they are disappointed about themselves and ashamed about themselves. And Christ came. He is a strong Savior that has done what we can never do. We see the Lord Jesus here praying. Oh, we see him struggling in prayer. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It shows that he is perfectly man, and that it was such a deep way of suffering. But it doesn't mean that he is not willing to suffer to save sinners. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt, let thy will be done. He is such a willing Savior. And this morning he is coming to you, as bad as you are. Maybe you're sitting here with a cold heart. Maybe you're sitting here with shame in your heart because of what you did. Maybe you're sitting here with darkness within, confusion in your heart. And today is a day that there's grace available for you in the Lord Jesus. And you should not think that you should improve yourself before you could receive grace, because grace is not for the improved people, for those that are living a good life, but it is for sinners, for those that are ashamed, for those that cannot make it, for those that are weak in themselves, for those that don't know how they ever can be saved. And the way to be saved is to sink down on the Lord Jesus, to fall into his hands that are pierced hands, pierced upon the cross. How is it in your life? Are you bad enough to be saved by this Savior? Or you feel too good about yourself? Do you see your need? I pray that the Lord will open your eyes. But you say, well, the Lord hates sin. So how can you say that I can be saved as sinful as I am? Well, that moment that you fall on your knees with all your hopelessness and helplessness, condemned in your own understanding before the Lord, condemning yourself and crying out for grace and looking upon Christ and seeing everything in him, that moment that the Holy Spirit is, you know, giving that humbling before the Lord in your life, the Lord is changing your will. The Lord Jesus says, the Spirit indeed is willing. That's the difference. And then the Lord is never leaving you anymore. The Spirit will dwell in your heart. And the Spirit is gonna do what you couldn't do. So admit it, acknowledge it before the Lord. Lord, I cannot. That's all. To be saved, oh Lord, Christ Jesus do it in my life. He's gonna do it. Oh, that you would trust Him. And He is gonna continue to do that, changing your life more and more, according to His word, according to the image of Christ. It's not your work. It's Christ by His Spirit working in your heart. Make you willing. And you will have to experience many times that the flesh is weak. You will never be able to be satisfied about yourself. You will be disappointed again and again about yourself. More and more, rely upon the Lord Jesus. Trust Him. Expect it from Him. He will become more precious to your heart. Walk with Him. Oh, what a sweet life to know this Savior. Yeah, a life of watching and prayer. And to see that He overcame Satan. And then you will share in His victory. Look how He is rising. Then He cometh to His disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. So what a change by prayer. There came an angel from heaven to strengthen him. And he will strengthen you. In the way you will need it. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you alone. The Savior will be with you. And He will bring you with Him in glory. He is so worthy, and your soul is so precious. Oh, that you would come today. Why not? To be saved by Him. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we cry out to Thee. Thou hast done everything. And there is salvation for those that live a hopeless life, helpless, weak, have to experience again and again that the flesh is weak and that the old nature is still strong, but have received a willingness in their heart. And that's the difference. That it can say with Paul, the good that I would, and then say with sadness, I do not, and the evil that I would not, and say with even more sadness, I do, the evil that I would not. Oh, I miserable man, who will deliver me out of this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. He is the one that is delivering. Oh, to enter that glory, to see that Savior. Lord, bless thy word, that we all will be there to sing thy glory forever and ever. Together, what a deep joy will it be. Oh Lord, where no sin and no weakness will be anymore. We pray, Lord, to bless thy word. Forgive everything that was not according to thy will in speaking and listening. Help us in the catechism and Sunday school classes and adult class. Bless the work also in the Bible study this afternoon. Lord, we pray that thou would work in many hearts to their salvation and thy glory. Hear our prayers, forgive our many sins, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen.